This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To France, to Occitane, the south of France, Simon Constable reporting for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications. We begin, however, with climate. Simon is in an agricultural paradise, but the news is that Europe is now under a heat wave attack, a heat dome, similar to the one reported in the U.S. Berlin is exceedingly hot. Simon, a very good day to you in Occitane. How is your climate? Do you have plenty of rain? And have you seen the heat break? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. The last couple of days were extraordinarily hot, over 90. Certainly the real feel was approaching 100. And being a native-born British person, the heat was just beyond me. It was really, really almost too much. However, last night we had a nice thunderstorm that lasted a few hours. It was a gentle thunderstorm, just sort of rolling thunder, if you'd like to think of it that way, and some rain, which was much needed. And today it is far cooler. We're down in the high 70s today, and that's much more dealable with. So very happy, and it's beautiful. The landscape just looks fantastic.
There's been a lot of heat in France's politics these last weeks, the disorders in the large cities, Paris and Marseille, driven by great concern about police presence, police brutality, the death of a young man. The riots, they included violence and disorder and looting. Right now, we read in the Agence France and AP and Reuters, the voices of the right wing in France, both in the legislature and Marine Le Pen, whose party is dominant in the south of France, speaking against immigration. You see immigrants to France all the time when you travel to cities in your area. You recently were in Toulouse. What did you see, Simon?
Oh, this is very interesting. On Saturday evening, I was there in Toulouse having dinner in the central square, which is called Capitole. And around me were people of all ethnicities that you can think of, North Africa, West Africa, other parts of Europe, everybody sitting there happily having a meal, enjoying a drink, and soaking in what was then just warm air rather than completely baking hot air. And it was very nice. No violence, no police presence, and certainly no soldiers. So it's very, very interesting. It's a complete stark contrast with what we've seen on the television and in the newspapers about the riots in Paris and in Lyon and Marseille. It seems to be night and day. And yesterday I was in Albi doing a bit of work. And in Albi, again, no police presence, no rioting, and a fair smattering of different ethnicities of people. So not really a problem. I don't know quite what the right wing is getting at here, but we're not seeing any violence wherever we go at the moment.
You've recently come through a civics course that is required by the government for residents and new citizens in France. What did you learn?
Oh, I learned a tremendous amount. I mean, France's history is intertwined with Britain's history for the last 1,500 years since the Roman Empire collapsed in around 500. And so the two countries have warred with each other and have worked together and, you know, on and off, on and off. But what we learned is sort of the very seriousness with which the country takes its history, its values, equality, fraternity, fidelity, all the rest of it. And that's very important to the French culture, the way people are to talk to each other, and the politeness seems to be something that they want ingrained in everybody. And it's true. Everyone you meet in France will tend to be very polite, very genteel, if you like that word, and they really push that in. They also talk about their heroes, Jeanne d'Arc. They talk about the revolution and talk about some very practical things like how to open a company, what you need before you open a new business, how you pay your taxes, how the government can help you with training. I mean, there were so many things. It was four full days, one day per week for 4 weeks. And it was like doing an entire degree, but in just 4 days. So it was a vast amount of that and of information just flowing in. And at the end of every day, I was exhausted because my brain had been stretched so much. I was very impressed. And they don't call the immigration department, they call it immigration and integration, which is quite different from the immigration department in the US or the UK for that matter. So I'm quite impressed so far.
Simon, we move to the story of prices, because no matter what your education, you've got to pay the piper. Right now, that's a Scottish reference from where you came from. Right now, we have two concerns. Inflation worldwide, we're getting a moderate number here in America, and that's driven by energy and food prices. What do you see in your pricing?
Well, the pricing I've seen that was a little bit higher was the diesel. Diesel had gone up from about €1.60 a liter to €1.70 over the past week, which is quite a rapid increase, not terribly nasty, but not pleasant to see. And that's in line with the increase in the price of Brent crude. Brent crude oil is the European benchmark and actually in many ways the world benchmark. And that's nipped up from below 75 a few days ago to now about 80 per barrel. So still relatively low compared to above 100 a year ago, but going upwards at the moment. Wheat is looking low still, and corn as well. So we're looking at $6.44, $6.45 for a bushel of wheat, and let me get the corn figure here. That's about $5.71 a bushel. So quite a lot lower than it used to be.
And part of that electricity. I'm concerned about the cost.
Electricity is actually very low. I was surprised by this when I just looked it up. It's now €28 per megawatt hour, and it had been something like 150 a year ago. So I'll take the $28, $29 or €29 per megawatt hour rather than over 100 or over 150 even. It's calming down quite a lot. And we've got to remember that people in the south of France tend not to use air conditioning because the buildings are made with very thick walls and it keeps it cool inside.
Simon, we move to a story that you have revealed to the world. Who knew? The origins of the debt ceiling crisis that we just passed through and was delayed another 2 years in Congress. You take us to your work for the Wall Street Journal to July 20th, 1953. Two very famous people, Dwight David Eisenhower, the President of the United States, and George Humphrey, the Secretary of the Treasury.
Oh, this is absolutely fascinating. At the very end of July in 1953, the president decided that he wanted an increase in the debt ceiling and basically put it in front of Congress and said, we got to make this work. And immediately that happened, the stock market fell. So in August, the stock market fell quite substantially. And there was a row. And basically, it wasn't until October that things really got settled. And then the stock market bounced back. But that started a tradition in the US of having these fights over the debt ceiling and having the discussion about whether we should raise it or shouldn't raise it or what concessions the other side is going to make if they let the debt ceiling be increased. I thought that was fascinating. It's also interesting is that the treasurer, Humphrey, wasn't really sure how much money would be coming in or how much money would be needed by the end of the year. And so it's a very different treasury operation than we have now, which has really quite precise projections about what is going to happen and when. I thought it was a fascinating thing. It's not a great tradition to have this debt ceiling crisis because it is nothing but theater, but it has been going on for 70 years.
And a recommendation at the Wall Street Journal, which I read regularly, for a book that I have now purchased for my daughter. I sent it right to her. It's about investment. And it turns out that you're the author of this article. I didn't see your byline. Smart women finish rich. You talked to the author, David Bach. What did you learn? We have a couple of, we have 30 seconds.
Well, I learned that education is everything when it comes to money and reading a book. And David Bach, who I talked with, basically said, look, there's no reason why women shouldn't be as good with money as men, and here's how to do it. And it was supposed to be basically a liberating thing. And I talked to another woman who'd read that, and it inspired her, Farnoosh Torabi, and she'd said that it really inspired her to look beyond her, thinking that money is for men and her own needs weren't important. They are. Women's needs for, having a good financial stability are very important. So, yeah, great book.
Simon Constable in the south of France. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?